Amen. A couple months ago, our presbytery put on this absolutely incredible spiritual formation retreat. It was hosting pastors from all over San Diego who are part of the Presbytery of San Diego. We were invited up to Temecula. It was all expenses paid. And in the middle of the retreat, we sat down for lunch at a place called Oscar's. It's a brewery and bakery that overlooks a lake, and we had this beautiful reserve table there, and they announced, have whatever you want. It's all on the presbytery. It just so happened as we sat down to the meal that day that I was famished. I was so hungry. I could not wait for the food to come out. And so our servers came out. They took our orders. And I was careful to say, I want not only the sandwich, but I also want a side of fries, a basket of fries to go with it. And I just thought, those fries can't get here quick enough. And so we waited. Our drinks came out. And sure enough, this beautiful basket of fries is just laid down right in front of me. And I thought, I know we're pastors and all, but I'm just going to start eating, even though we haven't prayed yet. So I just start snacking on these fries, and they were exactly what I needed. They tasted so good. And I got about halfway through the basket of fries when the waiter came over to me and said, the people down at the other end of the table are wondering if you'd share some of those fries with them. And I said, okay. So, you know, they took the fries and they handed them down to the other end. And then I watched as people just took fries out of my basket all the way around the end of the table until it was completely gone. And now I could share as good as the next guy, but I was a little bit upset. And so I was kind of controlling myself, just sitting in my seat. It's going to be okay, Kevin. Your sandwich will be here soon. And sure enough, a couple minutes later, out comes my sandwich and also my basket of fries that I had ordered. Turns out the first basket that came was actually for the whole table. I thought it was mine, and I ate most of them myself. Blessings, when they are poured into our lives, whether they come in the form of French fries or other beautiful things, are always meant to flow through us and bless the people around us. And Jesus is going to emphasize that in our biblical text today. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, looking at verses 25 to 52. And it's a relatively lengthy passage. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app with you, I encourage you to follow along as I read. I'll begin reading now in verse 25. At that point, some of the people in Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I'm from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me." At this, they tried to seize Jesus, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Would you please pray with me? Lord God, we are so thankful to be gathered together today in your presence. We come at your bidding that we might offer all of our lives to you in worship. And so it is our prayer that through our singing, through our praying, through our celebration of the communion meal, and through our focus upon Scripture, that in each of those movements, we would bring you the glory that you deserve. We pray too, as we turn our attention now to this ongoing story of your life, Jesus, found in the Gospel of John, that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus is continuing to teach in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. That's where we found him last week. And no one is stepping up to stop him. However, there's lots of discussion about where Jesus is from. Is he from Bethlehem? Is he from Galilee? And there's question about this because there was this concept of the secret coming of the Messiah that was popular in their day. The secret coming of the Messiah meant that no one would know where the Messiah came from. That would be part of the proof that he was, in fact, the Messiah. Yet Jesus finally speaks up and essentially tells them that God is where he's from. That God is where he's from. And we're told in verse 31 that many believe. I want to spend the bulk of our time this morning talking about Jesus' statement in verses 37 and 38. But before we do, I want to cover just a little bit of background about what's happening in this moment as Jesus teaches. There was an elaborate water ceremony celebrated each of the days of the Feast of Tabernacles. The priest, each day, would retrieve water from the pool of Siloam supplied by the fountain of Gihon and then turn and process to the temple with the people falling in behind. The Jewish horn called the shofar would be sounded, and every time it was sounded, the people would say together, "Give thanks to the Lord." Each of the people were carrying leaf sprigs and citrus fruit in their hands as symbols of the harvest. Once they reached the temple, the water would be ceremoniously poured out on the altar. All of this was celebrating God's provision of rain, of crops, of new life. They were acknowledging that without God's provision of water, none of this growth, none of this harvest would be possible. And it would make a Jewish person think back in history to a place called Meribah. There's an incident reported in both Exodus 17 and Numbers 20 where the people have been led out of their slavery in Egypt and they find themselves in the wilderness with no water to drink. They begin to grumble. They begin to cry out to Moses, "What have you done? Why have you let us out into this place where we are going to starve, where we are going to go without water and die?" And in that moment, Moses calls out to God, and God miraculously creates a spring of water that gushes forth from the rock. As they conducted this water ceremony, they would remember God's faithfulness and provision in that way. They believed this water was symbolic of a greater blessing God would eventually bring to the world through the nation of Israel. Symbolic of this blessed to be a blessing concept that we find throughout the scriptures. But they would also think back to a different text, an image that is found in Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. And what I want you to do in these next couple moments is sit back, relax, close your eyes, turn on your imagination, and listen to the words of this particular scene that come from Ezekiel. "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around outside the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with the measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was now ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." This beautiful imagery of the life-giving power of water, and not just water, water whose source is God Almighty, water whose source flows from within the temple and into the world. And we're told it flows from the temple to the Dead Sea, where salty water is made fresh. We're told where the river flows, everything will live. As they celebrated now in the temple in Jerusalem, they remembered this promise and they recognized their God, Yahweh, as the source of this healing, replenishing water in the world. This is what the people would have in mind in the midst of this ceremony, and it's this, in the middle of this, that Jesus stands and issues an invitation. His invitation comes in verse 37. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." On the one hand, such an innocent statement, right? Without the context, Jesus' statement is confusing at worst and maybe a bit encouraging at best. But with the context of Ezekiel 47 in mind, it becomes clear that Jesus is actually claiming to be God. It's a generous invitation. "Let anyone come," Jesus says, not just the nation of Israel, but anyone on earth. In fact, there's only one condition. They must be thirsty. They must be needy. They must desire satisfaction, the true satisfaction that only comes from this living water. It's the same today. Anyone can come, anyone on earth. All they must do is confess their thirst, admit their need. That's the generosity of God's grace and mercy. And it needs also to be the mark of our faith community here at Fletcher Hills, always. So Jesus' invitation rings out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." But his invitation is followed by a promise. In verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Clearly, to drink is to believe, and if we believe, Jesus says rivers of living water will flow from within us. What does that mean? It means that not only will we be satisfied, but then we also will become a source of satisfaction for others. We will be filled to the point of overflowing, and that overflow is intended to bless the world around us. The salty waters of this world will be refreshed by the waters Jesus causes to flow in and through us as long as we have eyes to see this, as long as we don't hang on to the French fries ourselves. What Jesus pours into us, it is meant to bless us, but we hold it loosely because we know he is our constant source of blessing. We'll never run out. And we take all that overflows in our lives and we invest in the people around us. We meet the needs of this world around us because ours have been met first by Jesus. Now, John explains in the midst of this that what Jesus is actually talking about here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws us. The Holy Spirit is the one who quenches our thirst. The Holy Spirit is the one who ministers through us. And the Spirit was always at work, but the Spirit would soon be given to all after Jesus' glorification at Easter and that Pentecost experience of the personal arrival of the Spirit. Well, all of this led to a decision that the people needed to make after they heard what Jesus had to say. We see it in verses 45 to 52. And the people were divided. Some thought he might be a prophet. Others thought he might be the Messiah. Some were still standing around saying, "Who is this?" The Jewish leaders were divided too. Each person had a decision to make. The guards, the Pharisees, Nicodemus, just as everyone in the world today must make a decision. And so I think our text leaves us with two questions this morning. The first, have we satisfied our thirst by believing in Jesus? Have we satisfied our own thirst by believing in Jesus? And secondly, are we allowing the living water of his Spirit to flow through us? In this Advent season, as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, we cannot disconnect the Christmas story from this reality that the baby Jesus came that he might grow into a man, that he might teach us of the kingdom of God and the life he has made for us, that he would quench our thirst and turn us into those who might quench the thirst of others as his blessing flows through us. That's the story of salvation, story of Advent, the story of each of our lives. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are inspired by all that is taking place in this scene. On the surface, it just appears that you are giving a lecture in the temple and people can't quite determine who you are. And yet when we dip behind the scenes and we see the history of the nation of Israel, the memories they have of both their complaints and also your faithfulness in meeting their needs, and also this beautiful imagery of water bursting forth from the temple to meet the needs of the world. May we hold these images in our own minds. May we remember in a world today that seems so in need of the quenching of its thirst, that you are powerful enough to do that, and that you choose to do that through meeting our needs in Jesus and through flowing through us in this world with the blessings that you give us. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.